Great.
Charles Wesley was a preacher, great preacher, by the way, and he was an ordained minister, but he did not know the Lord. Do you know that you could do that, right? And one night as he was preaching, there was a Moravian pastor at the congregation, and he sensed Charles Wesley didn't understand the gospel, and he pulled Wesley aside privately after the service, and he said, Mr. Wesley, do you understand that our salvation is not by good works? It's by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did for us on the cross. He led Charles Wesley, the minister, to the Lord that night. This is his testimony. So would you sing these words and hear them with your heart?
Die.
Amazing love, huh? That God should die for sinners like us and take our sin on the cross and nail it to the cross. We live in a strange time. And the time, we live in a time in a culture, it's called post-Christian, by the way, in a culture where people think the Bible is irrelevant. People think that God is irrelevant. People think that Jesus was just a good man. Well, no, he's a lot more than that. And because of the cross of Christ, he's mighty to save. Amen? Would you sing this? Would you lift the roof with this, please?
Thank you.
every once in a while, Joey tells me a corny joke. So let me just start this with a corny joke. Do I have your permission? When chickens talk to each other, what kind of language do they use? Foul language. So much for my comedy. You think about it, it'll grow on you. All right. I want to kind of quickly go over with you. We're going to be in chapter 4 of Acts, the book of Acts. If you remember Luke, who was a doctor, wrote the book of Acts. And he has, as a scientist, as a doctor, he pays attention to detail. And we benefit because of that. Through the Holy Spirit, Luke penned the beginnings of the early church. And, you know, I'm going to give you a little bit of my testimony here, if you don't mind, as we start this, because it pertains to what we're about to talk about. When I was in college, I was in pre-med, and I was at best an agnostic. You know what an agnostic is? Agnostic says, well, maybe God exists, but if he does, he's really not interested in, you know, what goes on. And, you know, I really had that attitude. Unfortunately, I think I told you the story before, there was a young man at dinner one night in the commons, the cafeteria at Rutgers, sat next to me and started talking to me, you know, about the cross and Christ. And I wasn't ready at the time. And he was very nice. He was very gentle. But I told him if he didn't stop, I was going to throw him out. It's true. So I owe him an apology when I see him in glory. But here's how God started my journey. And maybe he's starting yours this way, too. In my junior and senior year, I had to take courses like physiology, where you learn how the systems of the body work. I took embryology, the formation of a fetus and all the stages. And then in my senior year, I took anatomy, human anatomy. And not to get gross, but we had to do dissecting. And I'm sitting at the lab table, and I'm looking at the different systems of the body. And I'm saying, this can't happen by accident. This just can't happen by accident. How the cells know where to go and form part of the intestine or part of the brain or part of the muscle. I mean, it's incredible. And at that point, I said, there has to be a designer. There has to be a designer to this. This is just, this can't happen by chance. It just can't. And so that's how God started working in my life, through science, ironically, to see the miracle of the human body. And then after I got married and I witnessed the birth of my son, it was incredible. Every time a baby is born, it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. So that is a little part of my journey. And by the way, whether scientists realize it or not, they are now starting to prove a lot of what the Bible says is correct. They just won't admit it sometimes. And so I tell you this to understand that in the Bible, the miracles of Christ and God are recorded for one reason, to point us to Jesus Christ. That's it. To point us to Jesus Christ. I believe God still does miracles today. I hope you do too. I believe that God can do whatever he wants. Of course, he will never violate his character, and he never authors evil. But whether someone is miraculously healed, I've seen that, or Peter walking on the water in the storm, or the resurrection of Christ himself, God always points us to the centerpiece of the gospel, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to say a radical statement right now, and if you follow this through, it'll make sense. The gospel is not about us. We benefit from the gospel, don't we? But the gospel is all about Jesus. He's the centerpiece. It's all about Jesus. So in this passage, Dr. Luke wants us to have a clear picture of a couple of miracles that happen and how it should point us to our need for a Savior. Our need for a Savior. You may say, well, Pastor, I've heard all of this before. Well, maybe you have, but, you know, we need to hear it and keep hearing it again. So I'm going to ask that as a responsive reading before we get into Acts, would you read this short passage from Romans 17? Can we do that? Okay, you ready? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. That's what it says. Faith comes through hearing the message, and the message of faith in Jesus Christ. And so I want to just capsulize this in a moment. The gospel is always good news. That's what gospel means, by the way. It means good news. I'm tired of bad news. Are you? I'm tired about bad news. I'm so tired of bad news, I hardly watch the news anymore. I will stay informed, but I'm not going to dwell there. I hardly watch the news anymore because, you know, especially this year, who's battling who? Who's saying what about who? You know, the cities are in chaos and all. Let me give you some statistics on that, by the way. Any major city that Billy Graham or Franklin Graham has done a meeting at, they usually do 3, 4, 5 day meetings in cities, the crime rate always goes down. Always. There's not one exception. You know why? Because people are coming to Christ by faith. And so we tend to lose the power of the gospel. We tend to lose the understanding of the gospel. And you may be a Christian for 20, 30 years, but we need to hear this again and again. And so the refreshing news lays in the gospel and the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And so we need to hear this today. But unfortunately, sometimes we need to hear the bad news first before we can appreciate the good news. Isn't that true? R.C. Sproul, great theologian, he wrote this in one of his books. He says, the gospel is only good news when we understand the bad news. Well, what's the bad news? The bad news is that you and I, we are all born rebels against God. That's the bad news, right? It doesn't take long for our sin nature to show up. If you look at toddlers and infants, it seems like they say no more than they say yes, right? Take them to the playground, you give them a 5-minute warning, and when the generous 5 minutes is up, what happens? Well, they have a temper tantrum. The sin nature that we inherit from Adam's rebellion in the Garden of Eden makes us rebels. That's who we are. That's how we're born. Theologians call that original sin. But God just doesn't leave us there. God says there's hope, and he shows us miracles to point needy people like us to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Miracles were never, ever meant to glorify one particular person other than Jesus. So in other words, I've seen miraculous healings. I've prayed with people who have been healed miraculously from cancer. I prayed with others who God chose to take home. But the difference is that it is never about me. It is never about you. It's all about Jesus. You understand? It's all about Jesus. And so, Peter talks about Israel's rejection of the Messiah. I want you to listen. This is a sermon that he gives right after the lame man was healed. Remember that from last week? Lame man from birth, miraculously healed, when Peter and John spoke to him and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, do what? Get up and walk. His muscles, which were atrophied, suddenly became strong. It was a miracle. He got up. Not only did he walk, do you remember what else he did? He started jumping, dancing, singing, and he went right to the temple to praise God. Right to the temple. A lot of people saw that. They saw it. They were amazed. Look at this. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in a place called Solomon's Colonnade. You know what a colonnade is? Yeah, it's got columns, usually. Okay, it's a long porch. And people were just so astonished. And in the original language, it would read this way. The people were utterly astonished. I mean, it just took their breath away to see what happened. And they came running. The only place I see people running many times is to stores on Black Friday. They're running for those sales, right? They're running to take advantage. And usually they don't buy things for other people. They're buying things for themselves, right? And so they came running because they said, we know this man since he was young. He was born this way. Is God doing something here? Now, Peter uses this as an illustration. And he goes on to say, when Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, and this is a big crowd now, why does this surprise you? That's a question that probably hit them right between the eyes. Because the Israelites were generally speaking, very religious, right? They hopefully knew the scriptures and the prophets of the scriptures. And he's saying, why does this surprise you? God's at work here. Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us and listen to this as if it's by our own power or godliness that we made this man walk? You know what Peter is saying? It's not about me. It's not about John. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It gets better. Remember Sproul said you need to know the bad news before you need to hear the good news? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the fathers of Judaism, the God of our fathers has glorified his servant, Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he decided to let him go. Now listen, you may be sitting here and say, well, if I was in the crowd, I wouldn't have handed over Jesus. Yes, we would have, because that's our nature. That's our nature. You remember the kangaroo courts that Jesus went through and what we call that Passion Week. He was not guilty of one thing except loving people. Pilate said, I can find no wrong that this man did. Now, most of these people were probably there at that trial. And I want you to see how Peter uses it as an illustration. He says, you disowned a holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You remember the name of that murderer? Barabbas. Reverend Dr. Robert Fucci, who's a pastor up in Toms River and a lawyer, and wrote a book. His great book is called An Authentic Church, A New Model for an Authentic Church. And he has a whole chapter on this exchange of Jesus and Barabbas. And I want you to understand this exchange. Here's Jesus not guilty of anything. And Pilate really wanted to let him go, correct? All right? What did the people cry out? Crucify Jesus. Give us Barabbas, a murderer. A murderer. A sinful man, just like you and me, right? look at what happened. Here is the exchange of a murderer who deserved death and Jesus, who did not deserve it, but he was crucified for his sin, for the sin of Barabbas. What an incredible visual. This foreshadowed the cross, that Jesus would go and die for sinners like Barabbas, for you, so that by simple faith and repentance in him, we might know eternal life and forgiveness and purpose like we've never known before. And listen to this. This is strong language. You killed the author of life. How ironic. Jesus is the creator. And our sin put him on the cross. But you raised, but God raised him from the dead. The grave couldn't keep him. Amen? Sin didn't conquer him. And he conquered death. And then he says, we are witnesses of this. Barabbas, the sinner, and Jesus. Jesus takes the place of Barabbas. We are all Barabbases. And you might say, well, Pastor, we didn't kill anybody. Well, hopefully not. But you know what Jesus said? Jesus says, if you think it in your mind, you're just guilty, just as guilty. Scripture says all of us have sinned for short of the glory of God. What an incredible picture. The holy and the righteous one who didn't deserve death goes and dies for us. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my God, would die for me? It's amazing. Absolutely. That's incredible love. That God, Paul in Romans chapter 5 says, while we were yet sinners, rebels, that's what sinner is, rebel against God, Christ died for us. Amazing. So let's continue on. Here's the good news. By faith, in the name of Jesus, I need to stop there for a second, because you realize that when you exercise faith, your faith is only as good as the object that you put it in, right? You're sitting in chairs. You have faith that's going to hold you up, right? When you're big like me, I wonder sometimes, but you have faith that's going to hold you up. You got in your cars today. You have faith that your car was going to work and get you here. I love to fly. And every time I get in an airplane, I have faith that the pilot wants to get us all there alive, correct? So I really have no angst in flying anywhere. And so faith is only as good as the object you put it in. You go to the doctor, he gives you a prescription. You have faith in the doctor that he gives you what you need. Then you bring it to a pharmacist who you probably don't even know, to trust them. Trust and faith are the same, by the way. To trust them that they're going to put the right medication in the right bottle for you. And you go home and you take the medication, right, by faith. Well, here's the bottom line. We all know that cars fail. You know why they fail? Because they're made by humans, right? Now, there are reliable cars, but eventually they're going to break down. We certainly know that planes fail sometimes. And all of the failure from a plane is human error, whether it's mechanical or pilot, right? We know doctors make mistakes. No offense, doc. We all know doctors make mistakes. We all know pharmacists make mistakes. We're human. We're going to make mistakes, all right? Faith in Jesus never makes a mistake. He's fully God, fully man. He never makes a mistake. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the one who went to the cross to die for me. When we have faith in Jesus, that means we fully trust that he went to the cross in my place, personally. If I were the only person on the face of the earth, he still would have come and died for me. That's awesome. Personally. And I put my faith and trust that on the cross he took my sin and my shame and paid the penalty once for all. That's what the scripture says. What was the penalty? It wasn't the physical aspect of the cross, as agonizing as that was. The real agony of the cross was then when he took on my sin and your sin. Fellowship with the Father was broken for the first time in all eternity, because the Father couldn't look at the Son. In fact, Jesus had to incur the full wrath of God for your sin and mine. That's the agony of the cross. Until it was paid in full. And Jesus said these remarkable words from the cross: "It is finished. It is finished." Faith in Jesus Christ. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. I want to suggest to you this morning the greatest healing we all need and we've experienced, so those of us who've come to know Christ personally by faith, is Jesus. I believe he's the only hope for our country. Our country needs a spiritual awakening. The churches need revival, but it comes at a cost. It comes at a cost, and we're going to get into that cost. Look at this. It is Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know you acted in ignorance as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through the prophets. Who are the prophets? Isaiah, Micah, Malachi, and all the prophets, right? You read the Old Testament, you see Jesus on every page. Jesus is prophesied. But here is the catch, that saying that the Messiah would suffer, that the Messiah would come not as a militant king, as a lot of the Israelites hoped, not to conquer their enemies, but to come and suffer that agonizing death on the cross so you and I might know new life and forgiveness and new purpose in this life through repentance and faith. And then he goes on to say, repent. Here's the gospel. Repent. What does repent mean? Does anybody know? Turn from it. It actually starts in the mind and should transfer to the heart, because when we start to read the Bible and we see our sin that cost Jesus his life, that should spur us to say, wow, God, I'm sorry. I offended you. And I hurt others in the process. Lord, help me turn from that, repent, and by faith, help me turn to you. Why do we need to turn to God through Christ? Here's the reason. So that your sins may be wiped out. Isn't that great? One of the greatest inventions in the world, I think, is the eraser. Right? Write in pencil, while you write something, you erase it. Second greatest invention, I think, was whiteout. Right? For those of us who used to type on our old typewriter. The third greatest invention, I think, is delete on the computer. Right? But I want you to understand this. God knows all our sins, every single one of them, even the ones we try to hide. But when we come to faith in Christ and we repent of our sin and confess them to God and turn to God, he hits delete. They're gone once for all. By the way, when we hit delete on the computer, there's still a print of them someplace, right? God doesn't do that. They're gone. In fact, in the scripture, it says, he throws them into the deepest part of the ocean, never to be retrieved again. Isn't that great? Never to be retrieved again. Wow. So that your sins may be wiped out, that times of what? Refreshing may come from the Lord, that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Times of a refreshment. When I was in high school, I worked in a gas station. And yeah, Texaco station. You can trust the guy who wears the star or something like that. And I had the owner, the boss, you know, taught me mechanics. He was a really good teacher. But he used to joke that I get more grease on me than on the car. So I worked every day after school. When I came home, I couldn't wait to hit the shower. I couldn't stand being that dirty and that greasy. Plus, he had two German shepherds in there. And you know what happens when shepherds shed? And you have grease on you? You come home looking like the abominable snowman sometimes. So I'm in the shower, and as the grease came off, I just felt so much better. Refreshed. For you and I, that refreshment begins the moment we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But then it continues, because as Christ followers, we are not perfect, correct? And follow me around for a little bit, you know I'm not perfect. But God gives us that gift of confession and repentance and restoration. I covered this on the air this past week. The promise that God makes to us, this is in 1 John, if we confess our sin, agree with God that this is wrong, and we turn from it, repent from it, and turn to God, because that's been paid for 2,000 years ago on the cross, it says God is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That should be something that we do every day, sometimes 3-4 times a day if we need it. But God wants us to be refreshed, and he wants us to just rest in the gospel of Jesus Christ. To me, that's awesome. Let's continue on here. This talks about the ascension now. Heaven must receive Jesus until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. And so Jesus sits at the right hand of God right now. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. I firmly believe that pastors in some senses are prophets. What a prophet always needs to do, and this is the primary function of a prophet, is to call people to repentance and come back to God. Every prophet that God sent, that was their mission. Repent, come back to God. Repent, come back to God. If there's anything our nation needs to hear, it's that. Repent and come back to God. I'm praying that people will listen to services online or wherever they can listen to and hear that we should listen to pastors that are faithful to the gospel. Anyone who does not listen to him, meaning the prophet, will be completely cut off from their people. You know, some people tell me that as I share the gospel with them, they'll wait until they're on their deathbed. And I'm saying, you don't know when that is. I mean, God forbid we can leave here, get hit by a car, and get killed, right? We don't know when our last day is. And we say, oh, I'll take care of that. No, it doesn't work like that. Today's the day. Today's the day. Today's the day it needs to be taken care of. Indeed, beginning with Samuel and all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophet and the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples of the earth will be blessed. This is now the transition from the early church being all Jewish and now having Gentiles come in, so that every nation in the world will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent them first to you, the Jews, by turning each of you from your wicked ways. This is an incredible passage, isn't it? a clear presentation. What a great sermon. We need more sermons like this. We need more sermons like this in the marketplace. So, you know, I want to ask you this morning, are you tired of bad news all the time? Open the Bible. Let God speak to you. Let him tell you how much he loves you in spite of you. Let him tell you, learn about his grace, his unmerited favor. Learn about his holiness and his righteousness. Listen to the message of Peter and the prophets and the word of God. Repent to turn to God so that our sins are wiped clean and we can experience times of refreshment that comes from the Lord. You don't have to confess to me. You know why? Because Jesus opened the way for us to go directly to the Father. The moment he died on the cross, that way was opened. So that you don't need an intermediary to confess to. You go right to the Father. That blew me away when I learned that. So, the other thing I want to leave you with is this. When we sin, our tendency is just like Adam and Eve, we want to hide from God. Don't hide from God. He knows. Don't hide. He stands with his arms open, ready to forgive you as long as you come in repentance and faith. Amen? Amen. I pray that the cross never becomes something that we grow too accustomed to. Just let me give you an example. The cross in Jesus' day was the nastiest way for someone to die, and it was reserved for hardened criminals, okay? So, you know, we kind of look at the cross, and it's special to us, and I understand that, but realize what it represents. How would you feel if we changed that and put an electric chair up there? That would be pretty hideous, right? But this is the type of thing we're talking about, the wondrous cross. And the cross was necessary for you and I so that our sins would be paid for once and for all because Christ loved us. I'm going to ask the ladies to come up, please. Thank you. You know, I never checked with the parking lot to see if they could hear us. Okay. They could hear us. I want to thank our guests for coming today. Thank you. Great to have you here. God is good. And all the time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Send us away with your blessing. Holy Spirit, just fill our hearts with joy, because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus died for me, for us. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
God bless. We got an amen from the parking lot, too.